You know, I admit there are so many things that I really miss right now. And one of the things I miss right now is Claudia's printing of the bulletin, because in Claudia's printing of the bulletin, there is an exhaustive list of announcements and things going on, and to decide what I need to announce of the church, I'm able to go through and highlight which ones really need to be announced. And without that bulletin, sometimes things slip through when they're dependent on my memory. And I apologize to our outreach team, as next Sunday, in addition to communion and upper rooms and care cards and coin banks, we also have our annual alternative Christmas next Sunday. There will be tables set up all along in front of the church with all of our favorite organizations that we work to support through alternative Christmas. Toberman House and Stillman Sawyer and St. Andrew's Project and Habitat for Humanity, and I couldn't name them all because I don't have a bulletin from Claudia with all of them in it in my hands. But if you're looking for a way to give somebody a gift more significant than something that you can wrap and open and put on a shelf or wear, alternative Christmas is an excellent way to do that, especially right now when everyone is hurting so much. If you have the ability to give and help somebody, this is the ability to do it. Also, if you have a little bit extra to give and you want to help with the support of the ministry of our church, that is also very welcome this Christmas season. But with that, hopefully I have not forgotten anything else. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as Miss Becky let us know this morning, we are talking about names today. Maybe you've wondered about the image saying incarnation that Scott has put up with our slides, or the word incarnation that's behind me right now. And it comes from our Advent curriculum that we will be working through, written by the Reverend Adam Hamilton. And in incarnation, we are looking at the incarnation of God specifically through the names given to Christ and what the significance of each is. Now, I have to tell you, a name is more than just a word that distinguishes us from other people. If it was just about distinguishing us from others, we could just all be given numbers. Could you imagine if we just walked around identified by our social security numbers? Hello, I am 60605. We could do that. But a name is not just an identifier. Our name is our identity, our true and unique identity. Our name gives us power. Our name shows connection. Our name is who we are and what we are desiring to be. I was thinking about my name and the way that my name has been used. And I thought, you know, all growing up in school, my name got used for roll call, right? You know, teachers virtually are still doing roll call. It's funny to watch my kids suddenly shout, "Here!" But it was roll call. It was used for the teacher to know that I was there and for me to acknowledge, yep, I'm here and ready to learn. But then as school advanced along, the calling of my name became something more when it was saying my name on a graduation stage. My name was spoken to show what I had accomplished, to acknowledge the journey that I had been on and what I had achieved. And the feeling of significance got even more the so-called bigger the stage, from high school to college to eventually as I got my master's degree. And then even more significant when my name was said on the stage of annual conference, and my name was used by the bishop as hands were laid upon me, and I became not just Stacy Dixon, but the Reverend Stacy Dixon, called and consecrated by God. That was my name, no one else's, and nothing else I would have been called in those moments. But then there's those special moments that come. Growing up, my grandfather on my mom's side liked to joke that he didn't know the names of myself and my brother and my cousins, so all of us were either Sam or George. Most frequently, I was Sam. And I loved it because it wasn't necessarily my name, but it was a name he used with affection for us. Sam was unique to Papa. But then those little nicknames, they can get even more significant. When I got to this church, I was somewhat nervous about whether or not I would fit in, whether or not I would be accepted. It's hard for a church to go through pastoral change. All the journeys and places that you've been with the previous pastor and the connections that you've made and having to lose them and say goodbye and then have to invite a new pastor in. And within my first Sunday or two, I remember it being out on the patio and being asked by a group if I was willing to go by the name Peace Days. And that moment and that name, it wasn't just, can we call you this? But to me, it was a name of acceptance and inclusion and affection. To me, it meant that I was welcomed as a pastor and a friend. But then there's also the changing of names. When I got married, my name changed, and I took the name of a husband. I changed my identity in so many ways by changing that name. The same name all three of my children have received and gone by. But I have to admit, there's many a day where my heart and my soul long to be back to Brooks. And it's not because it's shorter, it's not because it's easier to write, it's not because it's the one I've spent so much more time of my life with. But Brooks connects me to my parents. Brooks connects me to my brother and my niece and my nephew. Brooks connects me to my only living grandma that I adore so much, and my grandfather that passed so early. Brooks is my blood. Brooks is the family that's always been there for me. Brooks is a name that I was given at birth to say, this is the tree that you are a part of. Names aren't so simple. Names are complex. Names are deep. Names are who we are. Those who practice the true Jewish tradition go through a naming ceremony. For boys, this is often on the day of circumcision. For girls, it is a day that's picked, sometimes being on the Sabbath. But this naming ceremony is significant. And it's not the name that they will be called. It's not their secular name that the teacher will say and will be on diplomas and certificates. But this is their Hebrew name. For some, it will be a Hebrew name similar to their secular name with similar sounds. For some, it will be a family name, either a family that has passed or a family that is still living. But in this naming ceremony, this giving of the Hebrew name, blessings are poured upon this new life, this precious child. And within those blessings, there is the acknowledgement in that name that that child has entered into Brit, a covenant relationship with God. That name is then used in life cycle and significant faith-related events, at bar and bat mitzvahs, at marriage, at death. This is the name that not connects them with a family, doesn't connect them with a personality, but a name that connects them to God. This is why we're using names this Advent. The significance, the meaning, the real aspect of identity. And God throughout the Bible goes by many names. God, Abba, Yahweh, Elohim. Names of God that are used to show God's presence, God's might, God's love, God's strength. But here in this Isaiah passage, this passage that so often is reserved for Christmas Eve service, but I couldn't wait. I had to start with this one. I had to start in the prophet, in part because it fits so well right now as we think about the struggle that we have been going through this year, the ways that it seemed so dark. Having just celebrated Thanksgiving, and so many that had a heartache over not being able to gather in ways that we are used to. Smaller tables, smaller feasts, a lot who were alone and feeling the empty chairs. And here in Isaiah, at the beginning of this passage, it identifies the people, not God's people, not the chosen ones, but the people. And how does it identify and name the people? But that the people are walking in darkness. Darkness is a scary place to be. Darkness can be one that we just long to get out of. And here God's people, at this point in Isaiah, are feeling the darkness of the armies around them. Invasion is coming. Exile is impending. They are afraid. But the challenge is the darkness is not just about the emotions and the fear that they are going through. It's not about just what's going to happen as they are taken over and sent away from their homes. But exile is coming because they are a people who have been walking in the darkness, meaning they have been walking too far apart from God. They strayed in their faith. They found their trust in idols, in other gods, and they lost sight of the light of the Lord. They were walking in darkness. But here's the hope in this passage. Because what does it say? But it says the people who were walking in darkness saw a great light. They found their hope in God. They saw the victory that would come through the God that they were created to have faith in. And it tells in this passage about a child who is coming. That child that we know to be Jesus, named not by Mary and Joseph, but named by God, Yeshua, Jehovah, Jesus, the one who saves. But before being given this name that all would call him, before getting the name that Mary would use to call him in for supper and Joseph would call to bring him out to the workshop for help, the name the rabbi would use to ask Jesus questions about the Torah. But before that name, here in Isaiah, we hear four names for that child. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hear those words used. Wonderful, Mighty, Everlasting, Peace. Hear those titles. Counselor, God, Father, Prince. What do we have here? We have might. We have stability. We have salvation. We have guidance and help and so much that will be wrapped up within this child. And we will spend 4 weeks looking at the names of Jesus because each one is so significant of who he is. Jesus being the King, the Lord, the ruler of us. Jesus being Emmanuel, present with us. Jesus being the light of the world. Jesus being with us, in us, and everything to us. So how do we seek, as we look at these names, to make the most out of this journey? To not be people who are walking in darkness, thinking that we need to make this journey on our own, as so often we believe, I can do it myself. But how do we seek to step from the darkness and to be blinded by the light? To invite Christ into every aspect of this Advent season. To daily spend time in prayer and study and meditation of the name above all names. To say it, to pray it, to sing it, to memorize it. To allow it to impact us at such a deep level that no other name has significance over these next days and weeks. Because what will it do? Light overpowers darkness. Light shatters the fear and anxiety that comes with darkness. Light guides us and helps us and protects us. Light energizes us and refuels us. Light warms us and comforts us. And so let us seek Christ to do all of this, to bring us into light, to give us hope, and to remind us that he is not just a name, but he is our Savior. Will you pray with me? Glorious God, you go by so many different names, each with a meaning, each with a significance, each with an impact upon our life. And you are a God who it doesn't matter which name that we call you, as long as we are calling upon you. And so God, may this be the season that we call upon your name in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to uplift us, to transform us, and to give us hope. May we truly find and celebrate the light in all that we do. For this we pray in your name. Amen.